Haven's favorite. You know, there's a show that goes on, like, when the mics are off. We always talk about fun stuff. The tall ships are coming. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, we've got two tall ships coming in this week. I think they're coming in Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, and they reached out to us for advertising, which we were very pleased. And they're going to let us take some listeners out on the tall ship. So that's pretty cool.
That would be very cool.
Yeah, there's always kind of a, for me, there's always sort of a lull after the Coast Guard. I look down on the waterfront and the ships are gone and it's kind of like, oh man, because it goes by so fast. But I have to say this year, well done. I didn't attend the drone show, but I heard the drone show was phenomenal and the fireworks.
Fireworks were great, you know, and it was a relatively longer show, I thought.
Yeah, was it?
But it was a good show. It got delayed a little bit. I think that the concert,
the Lieutenant Dan
concert must have run over a little bit because we started maybe 15, 20 minutes late.
Yeah, it's all right. He was so happy to be here, but, Gary Sinise.
Yeah, he seemed to be pretty popular.
And wow.
Then we had our fountain show and all that. But the drone show was good. It was similar to last year's drone show.
Yeah.
It was only on Friday instead of on Friday and Saturday.
Yep.
When they did both at the same time, it was pretty distracting. But
it's a lot.
It was a better impact, I thought, having just the one show. And so that was good. You know, we had a great festival, I thought.
I thought we did, too.
I thought that the National Memorial Service was very well done, very respectful, and appreciated being able to take part in that.
That's what I heard.
And, you know, the Commandant was here. And
yeah.
He's good. He's what a wonderful man he is.
That's what I heard.
He's very, very mature, very calm, very thoughtful.
And he stayed and hung out with people.
Yeah, he's easy to talk to.
Yeah.
He really is.
I saw him all over my feed on social media. Yeah,
I really appreciated meeting him.
Yeah.
Well, he was here before, and I met him previously.
Yes.
But, as acting commandant, he's not been confirmed yet, but as acting commandant, he was here. And,
right.
No, I thought he was excellent. He had great remarks.
That's awesome.
Every time I ran into him, he was, he's very approachable.
You gotta feel pretty good, being the mayor of this city, Coast Guard City, USA. I always feel like Grand Haven is it's a small town. We're a small town. We always feel bigger than we are because we've got all this tourism and all of this here. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of layers to Grand Haven.
There really is.
You say it's a small town. It's a small city. As a small city, it's very three-dimensional. It's very much, there's layers to it. There's different things for different people.
Yeah.
But it always looks good, works well, and we take good care to appeal to everyone so that everybody is comfortable.
Yeah.
Everybody is accepted, and it's just really...
it's a great week.
Yeah, it was, and this week really showed it off.
It did, and kudos to the Department of Public Safety. Thank you for everything that you do.
Yeah, Public Safety kept everything well over. I didn't think things seemed quite as hectic or as
I didn't think so
crazy
either.
This year,
and
I'm not sure why, but I think it's part of it was all the organization that was behind it all.
Yeah.
And we were very well prepared for everything. And
Public Works does all the cleaning afterwards, right? Is it Public Works?
Yeah, Public Works, and then they worked together. Republic was out there, too, with hauling stuff, and volunteers out there, but Public Works worked all night, and they picked up the trash, and they picked up the barricades and cleared the streets, and by mid-morning Sunday,
you don't know anything happened here.
Yeah, it looked like nothing happened yet.
You're like, what, there was a festival, huh? What? Who? What? Where? What?
Yeah,
huh?
We take a lot of pride in that. That's something
you should.
We've done for years, and we always remark on it that, after the day after, it's all cleaned up.
And I know.
It's like back to normal community.
Yeah.
And, normal community here is all summer long. We're busy. So that's, next weekend to be Walk the Beat already over on the east side of town.
Right. And I don't know how normal this is, though, because I do the show barefoot, so.
Well, okay. I wore my shoes today. But then I had to drive here.
It's a beach town. Yes, you do. Well, it's illegal to drive barefoot, by the way. I should state that because there have been times I've left the house without shoes. It's illegal to drive barefoot in the state of Michigan. Okay, you guys are going to do a Purple Heart Community Proclamation. Chris Petras, they did that in the city of Ferrisburg a couple of weeks ago.
Right, and as you probably recall, last year Chris Petras was involved in finding a lot of Purple Hearts for... especially for World War I vets.
He's a great guy.
Other vets and people who have just kind of been overlooked and their records got lost. There have been fires. There have been records destroyed just through accidents and such, and people just don't know. But he's able to do a lot of research and find them and get those posthumously given to the family members. So he's done a lot of that. And so this is just another piece of that, the proclamation, just respecting the folks who earn Purple Hearts, because you have to be wounded in war in order to get a Purple Heart. So it's a sacrifice. It's something you carry with you the rest of your life. And the military recognizes that with this medal. And so people need to get them when they've earned them.
So you're going to declare August 7th is Purple Heart Day in the city of Grand Haven. I'm going to try to get a hold of Chris and bring him on the air. I'd like to talk to him about that.
That would probably be a really good idea.
Wouldn't that be a good interview?
Yeah, I think that he would be very happy to do that.
Okay, awesome.
Not that I can speak for him, but I'm sure he would like to promote
that. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
He's, like I said, he's put so many hours of research into this. Mm-hmm. He's worked closely with the museum and with the Legion and with the UFW and with all those organizations and with the military, because he's got the connections to get the records and do the research.
Okay.
So that's good, great for him, and we're glad to be a part of that.
What is this public hearing about?
So we're going to have a public hearing, and this is where the new hotel is going to be over there, at where the Fifth Third Bank is, corner of Third and Washington. The parking lot behind there is going to be part of their hotel parking lot.
I see.
And the parking lot directly behind where Jumpin' Java is, that's also part of their property.
I see.
So it's kind of a little bit of an L shape to the property there. And there happens to be an old right-of-way that kind of bisects through there. So it runs from 2nd Street eastward to roughly the middle of the block. Then it runs north up to Columbus Street. So there's this L-shaped right-of-way. Well, there's no utilities in this right-of-way. It's just an old right-of-way that nobody really knows why it's there. But
so legally you have to...
It's in the title.
Have a public hearing, right?
So because it's a city right-of-way, in order to vacate that and turn it over to the adjacent property owner, we have to go through a process. And the process started actually when we had our employee recognition picnic over at Mulligan's Hollow.
That's right, I remember.
We had a special 2-minute council meeting.
I remember that,
Because we had to issue a notice of intent to get the Planning Commission to look at. And then the Planning after that, the Planning Commission held their, they held a public hearing, and they discussed and they voted to approve a resolution to vacate. And that comes back to council. We have to have another public hearing on it. Because anytime you transfer property rights from the city, there's a lot of steps to it just to make sure it's done right.
Oh, yeah. You don't just, it's not a handshake.
No, it's not that. No. It's not something done casually or quickly. There's steps. And people complain sometimes about the ponderous procedures of city government or any government trying to deal with things. But if you're transferring property rights of land held on behalf of the citizens, then you have to go through the steps to make sure you do it right and make sure you do it transparently. So that'll be a public hearing for that, and then I don't foresee any really issue with that because, like I say, it's a right of way with no utilities.
Yeah.
No, if you went out there and looked at it, you wouldn't know it was there because it just looks like the rest of the parking lot.
Okay.
But that will unify their land so that it doesn't have this encumbrance in it, and then they can go back to Planning Commission for a final site plan review.
Got it.
That was one of their conditions for the Planning Commission, is clean that piece up.
Okay.
And then. And then another piece of what has to be done is, they were short 39 parking spaces on their plan.
Right.
And nobody knew quite where those were going to come in.
I remember.
And so if you look on our first item of new business.
That's what I was wondering. What's parking lot 24?
So over by the county building, they have a parking lot immediately next to the county building.
I do know that,
right in front, between Washington and Franklin.
Yes.
And off from 3rd Street there.
Okay.
And so they have that parking lot. I'm sorry, 4th Street, off from 4th Street there. So they have that parking lot as their main parking lot. And then across Franklin, they have a large parking lot. And there's actually two parking lots there. So they have a large parking lot where visitors or employees park. Then immediately to the west of that, they have a smaller parking lot separated by a small sidewalk. And that's that lot 24. So we're entering into a memorandum of understanding with the county with the intent to formalize it with a land lease between the county and the city so that the city will gain access to that, to the use of that land for things like overnight parking for people who live in town, downtown.
Okay.
Because the county won't do that. The county doesn't want to get into issuing permits.
No.
They don't want to manage that process. And in return, the city will take over some of the management of the lot and some of the repairs and some of the maintenance and some of that kind of stuff. So we'll gain access to the county-owned lot through this land lease. And then we can utilize that to provide for more overnight parking for downtown residents or for our use such as the hotel.
Got it.
So then this is a little bit farther from the hotel than the Marriott people would like. But, you deal with what you got when you're talking about a fully developed downtown.
Just walk.
So that will give, but that will give them place for it to park overnight.
Good. That's really good to hear.
Because their initial ask was to have on-street parking, We would have to have dedicated on street parking for a private party, and yeah, we don't typically do that.
That gets really tricky.
And we do that when we set up the sidewalk cafes and the
right.
And then we put barricades around it, and then they pay rent and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But for parking for a private entity, that's not normal.
No,
it's not impossible, but it's not normal. We'd rather not. So we've chosen to say, well, let's find some other parking that's off street but off site.
Okay.
So this will give us an answer to that.
Good.
And then really, kudos to Ashley Latch, our city manager, and Dan Colbert, our assistant city manager, for approaching the county and coming up with a solution. And,
good.
And to the county for being open to it.
Yeah.
Because this is something that's a win-win for everybody.
So. Tell me about a zoning ordinance to permit short-term rentals. What's this all about?
This is something we've been talking about for some months now. This is... And there's a overlay section of Centertown, which is right at the intersection of Washington and Franklin, or Washington and 7th.
Yep.
And that intersection, and then the block to the immediate north, across Washington, and part of the block to the south, and a little bit up 7th Street, is considered a Centertown overlay because it doesn't quite fit the zoning that's there.
I see.
We create an overlay in order to make those properties conforming.
Mm-hmm.
And they're more like the downtown area in their nature and their form and function.
Okay.
Well, in order to encourage possibly some more investment in those buildings, because if you look at it, there hasn't been a lot of investment over the years. It's been requested by the DDA and by property owners that if they could be allowed to have short-term rentals there, that would be something that would be helpful. And we look at it as short-term rentals are kind of a commercial use of residential property. So to put a commercial use in a commercial district does make sense, whereas putting commercial use in a neighborhood full of houses where people live, which is where a lot of our short-term rentals are, that's something we try to regulate pretty closely. So it kind of makes sense in that respect. And so we're looking at adding that as a use to that overlay only, not to all the center town, not to all the way up 7th Street, but just in that overlay right in that immediate area.
Okay.
And so that went through a planning commission.
I remember.
They wrote a special use, special use rules, which is what we're looking at adopting. The DDA and the planning commission had a joint meeting to talk about it so that the planning commission could understand why the DDA was asking for it and what the benefit would be. Because there was some resistance on the planning commission initially that, you know, why are we expanding our use of short-term rentals? Well, in this commercial area, it matches what we have downtown. Because in the downtown area, you know, short-term rentals are allowed by right.
Right.
And there again, it's because it's kind of a hotel, motel type of a use of a house or of a residence or of a dwelling unit, which might be an apartment above a store or something.
Right. Yeah.
So that's kind of what's being asked for.
I've got like 1 minute left. Pulaski Days?
So Pulaski Days coming.
What's this all about?
So this is going to be a new event put on by the Elks Lodge.
Okay.
And it's going to be September 27th. They're going to take half of 3rd Street from between Franklin and Washington. The half closer to Franklin, they want to close off and then put a tent there, and they're going to have... Going to have a big party.
Awesome. Awesome. Kudos to a wonderful Coast Guard Festival and for the Department of Public Safety and the Department of Public Works and Grand Haven City. Just thank you for keeping us safe.
Yes.
It was a great week, Bob.
It was.
I had a great time.
It was a great week. And a lot of good things happened.
Yeah.
I think that we showed ourselves well.
I have to tell you, we had our mascot, the WGHN Beach Banana, as part of our parade. What a hit. The Beach Banana took so many pictures, high-fiving kids. Everybody was like, who cares about GHN? We want the banana.
That's right.
Those kids, I tell you, it was awesome. CBS News coming up, more local news, and we'll get back to the tunes.